Well, humans aren't the only creatures with schedules. Actually, plants and other animals have some fairly precise cycles they stick to every year. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. The study of those cycles is called phenology, and we'll be talking about the importance of that timely that timing across species with our guest, Stan Temple, a professor emeritus in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. He is a senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and he'll help us understand phenology and take your questions, and we'll certainly be talking about the 2023 Wisconsin phenology calendar. I always look forward to it every year, getting a copy, and perhaps you will want one, too, after you're done, after we're done talking today. Questions for him, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about the effect of the season on animals and plants? Have you noticed, maybe noticed some changes in the wildlife around you? Give us a call. The number's at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Stan, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It's an annual affair, Larry.
It is indeed. So, and I think pretty much every year I ask you, what does studying phenology tell us?
Well, it's very interesting, of course, to know what your neighbors are doing in the plants and animals that live around you. And it turns out that phenology, especially as the data were recorded many decades ago, are now helping us understand how plants and animals are responding and adapting to climate change. Because one of the ways they do that is by shifting the timing of their seasonal events. As things get warmer, some things happen earlier than they used to, and probably many of your listeners have noted that.
Absolutely. And every year, or each year, the Aldo Leopold Foundation puts out a phenology calendar. What's the theme this year?
Well, every year we have a theme, and this year the theme is it's time to move. So we're talking about how plants and animals move around the landscape. And it's kind of interesting. Most people probably don't think of plants as moving, but of course they do disperse their seeds. And animals, of course, much more noted for their movements. And we delve into several of the different types of movements when young animals disperse away from their parents' home range and strike out on their own. Migrations, those sort of back and forth movements that happen every year, and occasionally even adult animals will sort of wander. And for example, right now we've got some snowy owls that have wandered from the Arctic and are in Dane County.
So here they are, and there'll be a lot of photographs that we'll be seeing on Facebook.
Indeed.
And they other are places of those owls. That's always fun, too. Well, describe for somebody who doesn't understand the calendar. It's always a beautiful calendar. I keep it up all year long. But tell us about what you've got here.
Well, as you said, each year we have a theme, and the calendar opens with a discussion of that theme, talking about movements of plants and animals this year. And then month by month, for just about every day of the year, the calendar will alert you to some natural event that you should keep your eyes open for, because it's likely to be happening near that date. Each month we also have a particular story, in this case about dispersal movements. So each month we've got a story about a plant or an animal and the unique stories about how it moves around the environment.
You know, one of the, and I always enjoy those stories that come alongside the calendar itself, which of course is there, and the paper birch story for January struck me as a really cool story, because it's, well, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, well, most people don't think of January as a good time for plants to be dispersing their seeds, but anyone who's got a paper birch, or actually most birches in their yard, will know that come January, middle of winter, suddenly the birch trees will drop their seeds. And some of them will sort of drift away in the wind, but most of them end up on the surface of the snow. There, they can sort of skitter across the surface of the snow and find their way to distant locations where they'll germinate. But it's quite remarkable that when those seeds drop, boy, it's just a dump of seeds under the tree.
It's pretty cool. Stan Temple, our guest. Questions or comments for him, I hope you'll join in, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. And there's one seasonal event that's going on that we probably ought to talk about. I've actually spent a little time on the show a few weeks ago talking about what was coming, but there's a big seasonal event happening now.
Absolutely. For us at the Alta Leopold Foundation, especially because it's happening right in our backyard, it's the annual staging area for 10 to 15,000 sandhill cranes on the Wisconsin River. And this year, we're doing something really special. In conjunction with the International Crane Foundation, the Alta Leopold Foundation is hosting the first annual Great Midwestern Crane Festival. And there are just all sorts of activities that people can come and enjoy, including the opportunity, of course, to witness this congregation of cranes on the Wisconsin River. It starts tomorrow, and we're leading tours. I'm leading tours to see the cranes. And tomorrow evening, we've got a special live virtual lecture by Doug Tallamy, who is an award-winning author, and his new book is all about the phenology of oak trees.
Yeah.
So his new book is called The Nature of Oaks, and he's going to be talking about oaks and phenology, appropriately enough. So the Great Midwestern Crane Festival goes through Saturday, and then after that, we'll be offering usually three or four times every week opportunities for the public to come and witness the crane congregation. So it's a seasonal event, a seasonal high point for us.
And I noticed that it's in the calendar for 2023. You've already got that, that
listed. We got it booked.
You've got it booked. So that is pretty cool. And for each date, and you know, some months I just opened up the calendar to March, and I think there's something written on all but maybe one or two days of things that are happening in March, because things usually are popping pretty heavy in March.
March, April, and May, the spring months, that's when phenology gets really busy, because lots of things are happening as the environment wakes up in the spring. But, you know, it slows down, obviously, during the winter. But, you know, even if you look at the month of November, you know, there are things going on. So, you know, on the November calendar, we're featuring the arrival of snowy owls. And fortunately, our prediction came true. They showed up right on schedule.
Another one, I'm just thinking about it, because for November, I noted that, and it was a little earlier than now, but it was November 1st, I believe. Yeah, Buck. We were just talking with Dan Small about buckthorn. And if you look at the November 2023 calendar, it says November 1st, buckthorn still has green leaves. Mark and control them now.
It's a good time to get them. Most people don't like to have them around, so this is the perfect season to take care of the problem.
Jane in Delavan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was recently able to collect some seed for a plant that I find along the Mississippi River that I call Sweet Annie. I don't know the botanical name.
Say that again.
Sweet Annie.
Sweet Annie, yes.
I don't know the name.
I'm not sure. I'm thinking of plants that have sweet in their name, and there's Sweet Sicily, which has a seed that you probably don't have any problem collecting because it'll stick to you. Is that the plant you're interested in?
No, it's not at all. It looks almost like a very finely cut lamb's quarter.
As sweet wormwood. I think is another name for it.
Oh, all right.
There
Very
you go.
Good.
Well, I tell you what, Jane, what you're probably going to have to do is type in Sweet Wormwood or Sweet Annie into the search engine, and you will find probably some information on the seeds, because as, well, Stan, as you know, some seeds are best, left out in the winters so that their coat gets roughed up or eliminated, and others don't.
Probably a good place for you to look for information. We've got one of the native seed providers here in Wisconsin with the Prairie Nursery. And if you go to the Prairie Nursery's website, they have information for every species that they have in their collection and how to germinate it and how to grow it.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Diane and Iron, well, let's see. We're breaking up, getting up, bumping up to the news here. So we will, Diane in Iron County, I hope you can hold on. We are visiting today with Stan Temple, talking about phenology in the 2023 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar. Like Diane in Iron County, you can join in too. Give a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Stan Temple. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. He studies lots of things, but one of them is phenology and how the change in season affects reproduction cycles for plants and animals. And, of course, he's with us to talk about the 2023 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar as well. And as we visit with him, what do you see each year as the seasons change? Are you a citizen scientist, maybe, who observes the changing season? Join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Take a call. Sally in Stevens Point, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm wondering if the calendar, the events on the calendar refer to things all over the state or the Midwest or just Dane County?
Good question. Yeah, the dates on the calendar reflect the data from basically around Aldo Leopold's shack in Sauk County. However, in the calendar, we give you an easy little way to predict how the dates will vary across the state of Wisconsin and even the Midwest. There's a sort of a rule that says that things happen one day differently for each 15 minutes of latitude and 1 1/4 days for each degree of longitude. So that means that the difference between the northern border of Wisconsin with Michigan and the southern border with Illinois would be about 22 days.
Okay.
And if you go from Lake Michigan over to the Wisconsin River, there's about a 10-day difference. So we've got the calculation, how to do it on the calendar so you can do it for yourself and figure out exactly when you should anticipate these events at your location.
There you go, Sally. Thanks so much. Well, there are some dates that will be the same regardless, which is, for example, the event in November, which is going on like this coming weekend with the Sandhill Cranes.
Yeah, the Great Wisconsin Crane Festival obviously is not going to vary. we got dates for that. And we do highlight, actually, on the calendar some other events that are important if you're interested in nature and the environment. So if you want to know when Alto Leopold's birthday is so you can tip your hat to him, it's January 11th, 1887. And we give the dates when some important pieces of environmental legislation were passed and things like that.
Sally, thanks for calling. Bill in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Larry. We have horses and beef cattle, and their fur seems extra thick this fall. Is that indicative of anything for the winter, or is that just variation from year to year?
Yeah, there are a lot of these sort of folklore predictors of how the winter is going to unfold. Your woolly bear caterpillars and tails on squirrels and actually, all of those predictors have no better than chance of predicting what's ahead, and they actually have a much better correlation with what happened in the past. So I'm not a livestock specialist, but I'm guessing that there's probably a physiological explanation that has something to do with the time when those animals were actually growing that winter coat of fur rather than them knowing what's ahead.
Bill, thank you so much for calling. Again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. You know, I was looking at the January, a couple of birds like the northern cardinals and the black-capped chickadees begin their songs in January typically. Why do they start singing so early?
Well, their seasonal events are stimulated by day length. And, of course, after late December, the days are getting longer, and these birds and other animals can respond to those gradually increasing day lengths as an indicator that it's time to prepare for the breeding season that's coming ahead in several months. But if you're a bird, for example, that means you better set up your territory early so that you're ready to go when the time comes to actually start reproducing.
And another one, owls. I think there's something in January about barred owl nests and getting those set up.
Yeah, most birds will initiate the preparations for nesting and laying eggs at a time that will coincide, fast forward to when their young are leaving the nest. The time that they lay their eggs is very precisely timed so that they are hatching their young just at the time when there's a seasonal peak of food to feed them. And if you happen to be a great horned owl or a barred owl, that means lots of young mammals, young rabbits and squirrels and so on. So they're starting now, early in January. The young will be leaving the nest just in time to take advantage of the bounty coming later in the spring.
Yeah, it's all pretty cool. I had a great horned owl on my backyard tree just 2 days ago, and it was so much fun to see. I guess there are more of them than we typically ever see.
Yeah, they're nocturnal and pretty quiet for most of the year, but right now it's really pretty noisy out there in the owl world because, related to the calendar, it's when the juvenile owls are getting kicked out of their parents' territory. It's time to leave home. And what happens to these poor young owls when they start dispersing across the landscape is that inevitably they trespass on some other owl's territory, and they get chased off with a lot of hooting and fussing, and eventually they find a place to settle that doesn't already have a territorial pair, but it makes for a noisy period while they're getting jostled from territory to territory.
Linda in Milwaukee, let's go to you. Hi, Linda.
Yes, can you tell me what's meant by the procession of the equinoxes?
The procession of the...
Well, the equinox is an astronomical event, and if you look at the dates on which it happens, It happens on the same date everywhere in the world. That is the date on which there's 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness everywhere on the planet because of the orientation of the sun to the earth. So it doesn't progress. It happens at a very specific moment, I'm going to forget the date on which the equinox occurs.
I've forgotten it too. we'll find it.
We'll check it. I'm sure it's on the calendar here somewhere.
Well, we can look at. I'm sure it's.
I'm
on
not
the
an
calendar.
Astronomer.
Stan, there. You know, I read a report. I didn't read the whole report, but I read part of the report from the American Bird Conservancy. You may have seen it, that half of all U.S. birds are in decline. May have been something you were well aware of before the report came out, but that's a very discouraging bit of news.
Yeah, it is, and part of the reason we're able to keep track of these things is, of course, citizen scientists that are out there monitoring birds. And especially citizen science programs like eBirds have been a tremendous boon to biologists who want to track the trends in populations. And, you know, it's not all birds are declining. Some are doing well. But as the report said, we've lost a lot of the bird life of North America. And it's alarming to see how many species are heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah. It is indeed.
By the way, the autumn equinox was on the 23rd of September.
Okay.
So there. That was the day when we had 12 and 12.
There you go. Thank you, Linda, for calling. Appreciate your call. Somebody else was wondering about the cranes, because we've been talking about cranes. Do they migrate? Is their migration pattern different from other birds? Or
it's a little different. Cranes, they're big birds. And very solitary during the nesting season. They don't allow anybody on their territory except their offspring. But in the fall, they start to become more social, start hanging out first with the neighbors. And then eventually, usually by October, they start to find their way to traditional staging areas. These are places where they congregate every year to prepare for the longer distance migration ahead. And for our sandhill cranes here in Wisconsin, they're going to be lingering, for example, along the Wisconsin River near Alta Leopold's Shack. They'll be there for almost 2 months before they finally move on the longer distance migration ahead. And it's been interesting with climate change. Of course, they're staying later and later.
Yeah.
Winter's coming later and later, and spring is coming earlier and earlier, so the amount of time that our sandhill cranes are out of Wisconsin is getting shorter and shorter. Many of the birds are here in late December, and the earliest arriving birds in the spring are arriving in February. So they're really not gone very much of the time.
Amazing, for sure. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Donna in Hartford next. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Well, from what I understand, if it goes through, the legislature or Congress is thinking about, doing away with daylight savings time, which is fine by me. Except from what I understand is that if it goes through, they're not going to turn the clocks back next November. And I'm wondering if your guest has any thoughts on how that might affect wildlife going forward.
Plants and animals have no clue what we're doing with our clocks. No. It's purely a human construct. So the plants and animals are responding to natural cycles. And for many of them, that's the change in day length, changes in temperature, changes in precipitation patterns. And those are completely independent with what we do with our mechanical devices for keeping time. Plants and animals are much better at keeping track of time than we are.
Thanks, Donna, for calling. David in Osseo, on to you now. Hi, David.
Hello, Larry. Hey, just heard you mention the bird population going down. And we live out here in rural Wisconsin, and I've noticed three things that I think are affecting the biodiversity here, and I just want to run them by you. Looks like we've got too many deer. The undergrowth is getting all eaten up. You can't grow pine trees because they eat them in the winter. And I think in Jansen County, we're up around 50 per square mile, if I'm not mistaken. I think I looked up the stats. The other thing we've got is a lot of feral cats, and I don't know where they're coming from, but, man, they put a dent in the bird population. I hate to say it, but it's gotten out of control, really. If you look it up on Google, it's a lot of birds, way more than windmills take out.
Stan, you did the research on cats and birds that some years ago created a firestorm.
Yeah, cats are very controversial. And, there's no doubt they are the number one cause of bird mortality that's related directly to human activity. And since these are all cats that are, well, they're house cats. They are a domesticated species. We're the ones that cause the problem. The other issue that you mentioned, the deer, most people probably don't think of deer as really affecting birds. But as you correctly pointed out, they change the structure of the vegetation, especially in the understory for forest birds, which we have a lot of in Wisconsin. And that ends up having some pretty big consequences for a lot of birds. And most people don't realize that deer, we think of them as browsing and grazing, but if they find a bird nest, they chomp down and enjoy a little protein. So a lot of deer and a lot of cats is a bad combination for the landscape in Wisconsin if you're a bird.
David, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Rick in Milwaukee will give you a chance. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I'm looking at a 2014 phenological calendar put out by Dennis Prusik in Green Bay. I'm going to guess your guest knows of that, but he stopped making it, so I'm really excited to hear about this, and I want to make sure you all give the contact info for getting one of these calendars. And the other thing is, that's it. Yeah, just thanks for doing this, and let us know how we can get it.
Yeah, well, we've been doing this for about 12 years, and there are some imitators out there, but we're sort of the grand old calendar for sure. And the calendars are available now from aldoleopold.org, from the Aldo Leopold Foundation. And unlike lots of things that have increased in price this year, it's still $15, just as it has been for the last few years. If you tune in tomorrow night for Doug Tallamy's live virtual talk, you can find the details at aldoleopold.org. We're giving away free calendars. So you might save yourself 15 bucks if you take in the Great Wisconsin or Great Midwestern Crane Festival and listen to Doug Tallamy's talk on oak trees tomorrow night.
And the calendar, and I always enjoy the photographs that you have in the calendar. I mean, it's one thing I just look forward to every month, flipping the calendar at the end of the month to the new month and seeing what photo's in there or which one is up next. And there's a great job that is done every year with a photo. And then along the side of the calendar itself with the dates and so forth, which is below the photo on a separate page, Stan's written sort of a companion piece, I guess you'd say, Stan?
Yeah, a story of something that's happening that month that's particularly interesting and relates to the theme of the year, which this year is Plants and Animals Moving.
And again, it's what's the web address again? It's
Aldo Leopold, all one word, aldoleopold.org.
Aldoleopold.org.
You can get the information about ordering the calendar. You can get your information about the Great Midwest Crane Festival there. You can reserve spots for visiting us and seeing the crane congregations for yourself. You can get information at the International Crane Foundation for the festival, too, and they're at savingcranes.org.
And the calendar, you produce a set amount of these every year, so I guess I wouldn't wait around.
They'd sell out, Larry. You're absolutely right. And thanks to you, the day after your show is usually one of our biggest days of sales. So your listeners are faithful purchasers of calendars.
So, Rick in Milwaukee, if I were you, I'd get online and get myself a copy. I'd go to the Leopold Foundation and get myself a copy ordered of the calendar. Today is probably, or if not...
Good day to do it, and buy some extra copies to send to your friends for Christmas.
There you go. Annette in Green Bay, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. I used to always get Dennis Prusik's calendar, too, for phenology, and really miss those. I know they're still available, but not as readily. But the thing I wanted to just mention is the person who had called about the decrease in bird population and that. And one of the big problems that we're having is we're destroying all our habitat here, all trees and shrubs and wild spaces on our properties. And so many people are now mowing acres and acres of lawn, especially out in the country, where there used to be habitat for insects who would lay caterpillars, and then the caterpillars would be eaten by birds, but the birds don't have food sources anymore. So, you know, maybe deer and cats are a problem, but a much bigger problem is us humans.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely right. Responding to the previous caller, because he mentioned those two, but definitely changes in habitat are the largest single factor that's driving the abundance of bird populations. And as you correctly state, there are some big changes that have happened in Wisconsin. Probably the most noteworthy is changes in grassland habitat.
Yeah.
That we're just the way the dairy state raises dairy cows doesn't feature a lot of open pasture land, which used to provide habitat for birds, grassland birds that used to nest in prairie, but sort of made the shift mm-hmm. to the open pastures of the past. And now that we're bringing the food to the cows rather than sending the cows out to eat their own food, an important piece of habitat for grassland birds is disappearing.
Yeah, one of the things that is coming up now, coming to the fore a little bit at least, is farmers going back to some pasturing, and that would bode well.
Yes, it's a real trend on the landscape. They've discovered that it's not only better for the cows, but it's better on their bottom line too to have the cows do the work rather than putting fossil fuels into their tractors to do the work. And yeah, rotational grazing has become a practice that is restoring a lot of pasture land to Wisconsin. And if you do that right, it can be done in a way that's actually beneficial to birds.
Well, Stan Temple, our guest today. Stan, thank you so much. The 2023 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar available now. As Stan said, you can order it through the Aldo Leopold Foundation. We have a link, too, on our page if you go to the ideas at WPR.org/Larry. And to today's date, you're going to find all that link information as well. Always great to have Stan with us, and we'll have him back, and we will do it again. And just to look ahead, tomorrow our home improvement expert is back to give you some inspiration. To the what you need to turn your home into your place of dreams. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.